The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 36, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 19th, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 6, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Daksha Uvacha, Aho Vasadho Sadhunam, Sadhulingena Nastvaya, Asadvakarya Bhakkanam, Bhikshur Marga Pradarshita. Translation. Prajapati Daksha said, "Alas, Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint. Indeed, although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice." Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sanyasira alpa chidra sarve loka gaya." CC Majjha 1251. In society, one will find many sannyasis, vanaprastas, grihastas, and brahmacharis. But if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who had appeared before him. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narada Muni to be asadhu, or non-saintly, because Narada had foiled his intentions, desiring to train his sons to become grihasthas. Fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayana Saras. Narada Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position and austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is the duty of Narada Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. Prajapati Daksha, however, could not see the exaltedness of the duties Narada Muni performed in relation to his sons. Unable to appreciate Narada Muni's behavior, Narada accused Daksha of being a sadhu. The words Bhikshur Marga, the path of the renounced order, are very significant in this regard. A sannyasi is called Tridandi Bhikshur because his duty is to beg alms from the homes of grihasthas and give the grihasthas spiritual instructions. A sannyasi is allowed to beg from door to door, but a grihastha cannot do so. Grihasthas may earn their living according to the four divisions of spiritual life. A brahmana grihastha may earn his livelihood by becoming a learned scholar and teaching people in general how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may also assume the duty of worship himself. Therefore, it is said that only brahmanas may engage in deity worship, and they may accept as prasad whatever people offer to the deity. Although a brahman may sometimes accept charity, it is not for his personal maintenance, but for the worship of the deity. Thus, a brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Similarly, kshatriyas may collect taxes from the citizens, and they must also protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations, and maintain law and order. Vaishyas should earn their livelihood through agriculture and cow production, and shudras should maintain their livelihood by serving the three higher classes. Unless one becomes a brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. Sannyasis and brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a grihastha cannot. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada Muni because Narada, a brahmachari, who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons who were becoming trained to be grihasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narada Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons, Asadvakari Arbarkanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narada Muni was a sadhu and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Sometimes a saintly person is misunderstood by grihasthas, especially when he instructs their young sons to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. If a young man immediately adopts the path of renounced order in accordance with the instructions of Narada, or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. This same phenomenon is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement, because we are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow a grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And consequently, the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, how one's life can be positive. In the Western countries especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. People addicted to householder life wonder how one can give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. The Vedic civilization therefore enjoins that at the end of one's 50th year, one must give up household life. This is compulsory. However, because modern civilization is misled, householders want to remain in family life until death, and therefore they are suffering. In such cases, the disciples of Narada Muni advise all members of the younger generation to join the Krishna consciousness movement immediately. There is nothing wrong in this. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Radha Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita
Shri Vishakhanvitamsha.
This is pretty shocking. That somebody could speak to Narada Muni like that. Telling him that he's not, that he's bogus. Can you imagine what kind of reaction one can get for doing this? Telling a pure devotee that he's bogus? Heavy, heavy thing. It's called Hatimata offense. We have to be very careful not to commit such offenses. When we get the Krishna consciousness, it is compared to a seed planted in the heart. Yes, when we get Krishna consciousness from the spiritual master, it is compared to a seed being planted within the garden of the heart. And what do you do when you get a seed planted in your garden? You water that seed. That's the first business. You want to take notes? Okay. One can take notes in the class, there's no harm. Everyone's free to take notes. So, it is compared to a seed being planted in the heart. So, if you get a seed and you don't water that seed, what will happen to that seed? And that seed will dry up and die. So you have to water the seed. And then what else do you have to do to make sure that plant successfully grows? If you have a lot of weeds in your garden, when you water the seed, you'll be watering those weeds, and those weeds grow very fast. Those weeds will choke out the devotional creeper. So you have to weed the garden also. So what is the watering process? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the watering process. And what are the weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. These are the weeds. And there's one other thing, and that is if some wild elephant comes walking into your garden, some mad elephant, then what will happen to your little creeper in your garden? You know those elephants, they have big, big feet. All it takes is one step, and your creeper is finished. Therefore, what do you do to protect yourself from these mad elephants who may come wandering into your garden? You build a very strong iron fence around that garden so no elephants can get in. So, what is that mad elephant? That is offending a Vaishnava. Just as Daksha is doing right here, you see. He's committing heavy offense, Vaishnava Parad, Hati Mata offense, mad elephant offense, against Narada Muni. So, each one of us, we have our garden in the heart. We have to be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas. So, what if I instruct you? Whatever you do, don't ever think, speak or act in any way which is offensive towards a Vaishnava. Then what will you do? But don't you dare ever be offensive towards a Vaishnava. Then what will you do? You may think, well, I better go hide in the closet then. Because, you know, I might say something wrong. Maybe I have the wrong type of look on my face, or I may do something wrong and offend the devotee. I better just go to the forest to be safe. So the point is, wake up. So the point is, just saying don't offend devotees, that is not enough. That's an incomplete instruction. You have to give the positive thing also. Just like if I tell you, don't sleep in the class. You see? That's not enough. I have to give an enlivening class. So you'll be inspired to stay awake, you see. So the negative instruction, that is not enough. Negative instruction is not enough. Simply to tell you, don't offend a devotee. That is not enough. There has to be a positive instruction. Therefore, vanchakapatarubhyascha kripa sindubhye vacha patidanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. We must always worship the Vaishnavas, you see. We must always be trying to cultivate love for the devotees, you see. By six kinds of loving exchanges. Giving gifts and service to the devotees. Accepting the gifts and the service of the devotees. Serving prasadam to the devotees. Accepting the prasadam from the devotees. Revealing your heart to the devotees. And opening your heart to hear the devotees reveal their hearts to you. These are the six kinds of loving exchanges. So if one is actively engaged in these six loving exchanges, you see, always trying to love the devotees, then where will the offenses come from? There won't be any room for the offenses. So, if one tries in this way to always be very positive in one's dealing with devotees, then there'll be no room for offense. And we will not fall into this trap that Daksha did. Actually, Daksha made a big mistake here, you see. He was thinking that Narada Muni cheated him. He's thinking that Narada Muni cheated his sons also. Just like many parents of the devotees in the Western countries, they think this movement is cheating them and cheating their children. And By these rules, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. They are shocked when their children don't want to eat meat when they come visit their parents. They become angry. I have one student in China, his parents are they force him to eat meat. So all he can do is just avoid going home. I mean, whenever he goes home, they force him to eat meat. So people don't understand, you see. They think this Krishna consciousness movement is depriving people of happiness. Taking away happiness. They think that the only way to be happy is to have illicit sex. To get intoxicated. To gamble and eat meat. They think that's the only way to be happy. Because their conception of existence is the bodily conception. They take the body to be the self. They base their happiness on the gratification of the bodily senses. But that is a false platform of happiness. Because the body is not the self. That's why no matter how much you gratify the senses, you cannot be satisfied. Dushparena nalena cha. Those senses burn like fire and they are never satisfied. They are simply a covering of the actual self. It's like now you're wearing some clothing, you see. It is the covering of the body. So, in a few minutes there will be breakfast. So, what will you feed? To what will you feed? Where will you give that food stuff, that prasadam? Where will it go? Will you give it to the covering, to your clothing? Will you stick your chatter in the khichdi? If you put your chatter or your sari in the khichdi, will that satisfy you? No. That will not satisfy you. If you want to be satisfied, you put the prasadam in your belly. That will satisfy you. Don't try to serve the covering of the self. Serve the actual self. So, material sense gratification means you're serving the covering of the self. That's all. You're not serving the actual self. So no matter how much you may gratify the material senses, you will never be happy. Not in a million years will you be happy. So Krishna consciousness means feed the belly instead of feed the chatter. Instead of serving the false self, serve the real self. By connecting it with the Supreme Self, Krishna. When you serve Krishna, you are giving the best service to yourself also. We are teaching you how to actually properly serve yourself. By engaging yourself in the service of Krishna. That is real service to yourself. If you don't serve Krishna, you're doing a disservice to yourself. Why? Because you're condemning yourself to remain in the cycle of birth and death. Taking one nonsense body after another nonsense body. Again and again and again. Sleeping in the lap of the witch Maya again and again and again. Lord Chaitanya there sir says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaurav Chandra Boli. Wake up, you living entities. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? So, we should not follow this Daksha Marg. We should be very careful not to follow this Daksha Sampradaya. We must follow Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Doesn't need a translation. It's Sanskrit. So, we're very happy you have all come here to learn how to follow the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So now you become perfect in following the Sampradaya. Learn from this mistake of Daksha. Not to make a similar mistake, to become offensive towards devotees. Daksha is also our guru. He is teaching us what not to do by his example. So, learn this lesson from Guru Daksha. Don't offend Vaishnavas by always being engaged in loving service to the Vaishnavas. So, now I can ask if there's some questions. Yes.
Daksha, he gave the prayers to Hamsa Guhya and got darshan
of Vishnu.
And after that, he offended the Vaishnav. How can you explain that this person, he has no qualification to get the darshan?
He must have had some qualification to get the darshan. He must have been a highly elevated soul to get that darshan. But sometimes even highly elevated souls, they fall down from their position. Even in our movement, we have seen highly elevated souls did great service to Srila Prabhupada, but they fell from their position. This is a warning for us. The devotional service is like razor's edge. One wrong move, and you're finished. We always must be very careful. It's like driving on a super highway, you see. It appears very nice, you see. But if you fall asleep at the wheel, you can be dead within 60 seconds, you can be dead. So So Krishna consciousness is a very wonderful process, you see. It's the most wonderful process. But one has to be very careful not to make mistake, not to fall down and offend a Vaishnava. Because even in someone who's highly advanced, like Daksha, they can fall down. Look at Brahma, he made a mistake, the Brahma Vimohana Leela, offending Krishna with, you see, stealing the boys and the calves. Indra is also highly elevated, so he offended Krishna by sending the Sangvartaka cloud to Govardhan, to Braj. So we have to, these are very good lessons for us. That even such exalted persons as Daksha, they can commit great mistakes. One should never be proud thinking, oh yes, now I am very advanced devotee, I am Brahman, I am sannyas, I am guru, I am GBC, I am temple president, I am pujari, I am this, I am that. And now I can do whatever I want. No. At any moment, finished. You have to be very, very careful. Any other questions? What is she saying?
She said that maybe on the lecture there is sitting two devotees, and one is young devotee and there is a senior devotee, and at the moment senior devotee, he falls asleep, and how to act for the young devotees not to commit apradha?
Well, one should think he must be falling asleep because he was doing he was up late doing service. He's so austere that he's minimizing his sleep as much as possible to work hard to serve Prabhupada's mission. So that's why he's falling asleep in the class, because he's so, doing so much service. A good example is Jayananda, the father of the Ratha Yatra festival. He was the most advanced devotee in our movement. But he was always falling asleep in class. Because he was working so hard to serve Prabhupada, he'd hardly sleep at all. He's working, working, working. And Prabhupada's time would just let him sleep. So yeah, we shouldn't be so quick to judge people, you know, who got up very early in the morning, you know, maybe the brahmachari got up at 2 a.m. to do this service and that service, and you know, I come to the temple at 8 o'clock and I wonder why are they sleeping, you know. We have to be very compassionate and think that he must be doing some very important services and hardly, and you know, in this way. The key is, as Prabhupada says, you should be very, very strict with yourself and be lenient with others. Do not be quick to find fault in others. But you should be very, very quick to find fault in yourself. That's how you'll make very rapid advancement in the pathway. You see, our tendency is this. We don't want to see our own faults. So we look around and see the fault in this devotee and that devotee. And this way we ignore our own faults by seeing, well, this devotee has this fault, this devotee has this fault, this devotee has this fault. And that way we ignore our own faults. So the best thing is to be very much looking for faults in yourself. Prabhupada gives two types. There are two types of little creatures. One is the fly and the other is the honeybee. What is the fly attracted to? If you have some sore on your hand with the pus oozing out, the fly will love that. It says food, some grotesque sore with pus. You'll be very attracted to some wound on your body. You see? But if there's a honeybee, he'd be looking for the honey. So what sort of mind do you have? Do you have the mind of a honeybee or the mind of a fly? Non-devotee, they have mind of fly. Devotee has mind of honeybee. But sometimes we see the near-invite devotees, their minds are like flies. That's why they are neophyte. Having a mind of a honeybee, that's what makes one an advanced devotee. So if you can cultivate that, the mind of a honeybee, you will very quickly become an advanced Vaishnavi. By always looking for the good qualities in the devotees, appreciating the good qualities. Actually, I can tell you something. The only person who's actually qualified to chastise others is the honeybee type, who appreciates their saintly qualities. Someone who sees only the faults of others is not qualified to correct anybody. They are proud, they are pompous, they are puffed up. But that person who can actually truly appreciate the good qualities in others, he is qualified to correct their mistakes, not others. So you become like that, highly qualified. Next question. All right.
How to change the mind? You know, from the fly. If you like have this right now, the fly mind. Yeah. How to change them?
How to change? This is a very good question. Thank you very much. How to change the mind from fly to honeybee? What if you'd like to be a honeybee-minded person, but you're very miserably like a fly-minded person? Actually, the answer is very simple. You have to find the honeybee-minded devotees and take shelter of their association, serve them, learn from them. Maintaining a honey bee mind is an advanced art. So one has to, just like if you want to become a super expert guitar player, what do? You associate with expert guitar players, you see. And learn from them how to play guitar expertly. So in the same way, you have to find devotees who are very expert in always seeing the good in others. Hear from them, learn from them, serve them. In this way, sangat sanjayate kama, you will develop the same mentality. Any other questions? Yeah.
What to do if you... If you suddenly maybe you didn't even realize, but you offended someone,
how to bow down at their feet and beg forgiveness. With a sweet, smiling face and sweet words, pacify them. If they get angry at you, just accept it. Yes. Don't become angry back at them. Take it. Humbly apologize and beg their mercy. Any other questions? Yeah.
We have one really good bee here in the temple.
Good what?
Bee. No, honey bee.
Oh, one bee. We have a honey bee devotee here?
Yes.
Very good.
It's one Mataji, Lilia, and she is really inspires the...
Very good. So you can learn from her how to be a honey bee, you see? Very good. Yes.
You said in the lecture about heart, and that we should open heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, open a heart. hear from the devotees who open heart to you, and how to open heart.
Just like you've asked me a question, Mataji. So, open heart means I'm trying to understand exactly what is your question so I can answer it properly. I'm trying to hear exactly what you're saying and understand exactly what you're asking so that I can answer you in the best possible way. I'm trying to understand you. Where you're coming from? What is your mentality? I'm trying to understand your mentality. Trying to understand your personality, your nature. So so that I can answer you in a way which is most suitable for your nature. That will give you the most inspiration, the most blessings. In this way, it is open heart. That it? Everybody say, okay.
I had one question. That honeybee, actually, he has this nectar. The honeybee gets, he needs some, honeybee house, yeah?
Yeah, that's called ISKCON.
Yeah.
ISKCON is the honeybee, the hive. Yeah, ISKCON is the beehive, yes.
So question is, when you get this nectar from the flowers, so where you put it, what to do with it?
You offer it to the garden, Shishi Natai Chaitanya Chandra. That's the accumulation of honey. You see, you offer to Guru and Krishna whatever nectar you're collecting, everything being offered in Krishna's service. You see, in that way, the stock of nectar, ISKCON becomes like a huge honeybee that just expands all over the whole, a huge beehive, which expands all over the whole world, where there's the whole world drowns in the honey, you see. Just imagine a beehive that gets so big it fills up the whole universe, you see. That is ISKCON. Such jana dur jana pangu jadda anagana premavan yaya dubaila jagatara jana. Krishna Das Kaviraj says. You don't know the Bengali? All right. Translation. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is a prema tsunami. It is a tidal wave of Krishna prema. It will inundate this entire universe and drown everybody. The sadjana, the pious men, the durjana, the jagayas, the madai type characters, the durjana, the andha, the blind men, andha, jada, the invalid men, pangu is the lame, and pangu, the lame men, yeah. In this way, everybody will become inundated with this Krishna prema. So it will, this beehive, this ISKCON beehive, will one day completely fill up the whole universe with honey. That's a fact. So, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming today. Srimad Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.